It's a bit high for me. That's better. I can see you now. Good morning, everyone. My name is Pete. I'm one of the clergy team here. It's great to see you if we haven't met before. As we come to God's Word, let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for everything you give us and particularly your Word to us. Please give us ears to hear what you have to say. And would your Spirit help us to live it out, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're thinking this morning about generosity. And particularly, we're thinking about our generosity with our money. And our money, it makes the world go round. And in British culture, we don't really talk about it. But I don't know about you. I think plenty of people are certainly thinking lots about it. You know, it can give us the greatest joys, but it can also bring us the greatest anxieties and sleepless nights. And so as part of this fruitful followers series, you know, Jesus said, look, if you remain in me, you will bear much fruit. What does it look like? What does the Christian faith have to say about money? What does it look like to bear fruit with our money? Well, actually, I looked across a whole range of passages in the Bible in this last week and realised, actually, the Bible says an awful lot about money. I was almost kind of surprised. Thankfully for you, we've only got about 20 minutes, so we're just looking at four verses. Quick caveat before we get into the verses, though. If you're a visitor here this morning, or you're someone who's just looking into things of the Christian faith, I want to make it really clear up front. This time now, as we look at the Bible, it's not designed to get you to give us your money. We don't want your money, we want you, and we want you to love Jesus. That is what we're about as a church, primarily. So please, as we think about money this morning, please know we want you and not your money. And even if you're a member of the church family this morning, please know that this talk isn't designed to get you to just give more. No, this, as we look at God's Word, we want to hear what God says, and we want to have our view of money and of generosity shaped by Him, which might mean, actually, you should give less rather than more. So again, please hear us saying this is not just about you giving us money. That's enough by waggling on the tee and introduction. Two principles from these four verses, as we dive in them together. Two principles. The first one is this. Sounds a bit radical, but give everything. What should we do with our money? What should we keep? What should we give away? Well, I think this little story, this little true story about this woman, helps us to see, actually, we should give everything. This lady in verse 4, this widow gave all she had to live on. She gave everything. But let's take a look. If you've shut your Bible, please do open it back up again to Luke chapter 21. And look down at verse 1 with me if you can. Verse 1. As Jesus looked up, he saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. Jesus is at the temple. And around the temple, they had all these kind of treasury boxes. They look a bit like this, that the people would come and give their money to the temple. It looks a bit like a funny gramophone. And Jesus is there, and the rich are coming, and they're putting in their gifts. And then this poor widow comes along, and she puts in her gift. And Luke describes her, and so does Jesus, as a poor widow. Which I think is a bit like saying she's sort of double poor, super poor. Because back then, if you were a widow, you were just assumed to be poor anyway. So to be a poor widow, wow, you really were doing quite badly. And that's backed up by the amount that she gives. She gives two very small copper coins. They probably looked a bit like this, two lepton, it says in the Greek, two of the smallest denomination of coin available at the time, and worth just pennies, certainly not pounds in today's money. You know, her gift was small. particularly in comparison to what the others around her were bringing. But Jesus says something surprising in verse 3. Look at it with me. "Truly I tell you," he said, "this poor widow has put in more than all the others." You know, if you were there, you might have been saying, you might have been thinking to yourself, I mean, Jesus, have you seen what I've seen? She's just put in two little coins. That's nothing. How does it work? I mean, Jesus, do you kind of need to go back to Nazareth Primary School and learn a bit more about more and less? You know, our daughter Florence, I think she's probably doing that in year two at the moment. She's just six. Jesus, do you need to go back? Well, no, Jesus hasn't missed anything. He explains in verse 4. Can you see what Jesus knows? He says, verse 4, "All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on." Jesus knows that proportionately, she's given more than anyone else, more than all of the rest of the people put together. See, for the rich to have given as much as the widow, they'd have had to have gone and sold their house and their car and emptied their savings and put, you know, all their possessions up on eBay or something. That's why Jesus can say that she has given more. She gives everything that she has. And I think in some sense, she's a model to us. She is a model of what generosity and what we do with our money looks like. To give everything. Now, I'm not saying that you should go home, put your house up for sale, empty your savings account, and put all your possessions up on eBay. No, no. But I do still think this widow is a model to us. She's a model that we should give everything to God. Give everything to God. See, where is it in verses 1 and 2 that she puts her money? Where are people putting their money? They're putting it into the temple treasury. She is, in effect, giving everything that she has to God. Because the temple was the place that God dwelt in the Old Testament. It's the place that people would come and meet God. It's the place where people could be forgiven by God by presenting sacrifices. You know, giving her money to the temple treasury did mean that she was giving her money, I think, to God. Giving everything that she had. Now I wonder, as we think about her as an example, do we think like her? Are we generous? Do we give everything back to God? See, our homes, our cars, our savings, our possessions, our monthly salary, our possessions, sorry, our pensions. Do we know that it all belongs to God? Really? That he's actually entrusted it to us, whether we have a little bit or whether we have a lot. See, I wonder if this lady, if this widow knew Psalm 24, which in verse 1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it." You see, it's very easy for us to think that our stuff is ours. You know, like, whose name is at the top of your bank statement? It's yours. Whose name is on the deed to your house? If you've got a house, it's yours. We talk about my things that we have in our houses. But really, all of it belongs to God. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. You see, if you've gone out to earn money, you know, lots of us think, oh, I've earned it. Well, actually, who's given you the skills and the abilities and the brain and the body and the energy to go and earn money? Well, it's God. But is that how we see it? Is that what it looks like for us? Whether we have a little or whether we have a lot, this widow, this example, encourages us to give everything we have back to God. To use our money in ways that God would be pleased with. You know, he entrusts it to us to use it wisely. Now, I guess a good test for this, right? Good test to work out. Do you use your money well before God? Has he entrusted it to someone who's using it well? whether you save it, whether you spend it, whatever you do with it. Well, I guess a good test would be to get out your bank statement and to imagine that you're sitting down with God and you're going through it together, having a look at the things you've done, the things you've paid for, the money you've transferred, and to think, have I used what God has entrusted to me in ways that he'd be pleased with? That doesn't mean that we're not going to go and spend money. Okay, the Lord wants us to use what he's entrusted with us. You know, so feel free, go on holiday. Get the rest that you need. Buy nice food that the Lord has given us into our world and make sure you pay a decent price for it. You know, buy cars, buy phones that allow us to move around and talk to each other. Don't feel bad about that. But the key thing is to remember, it's God's. As I spend my money, as I use what he's given to me, am I really giving it back to him first and saying, I want to use it for how you would have me use it? I guess as part of this, will mean actually giving some of it away. But I think realizing as we give to God, it's actually quite freeing as we think about our giving. You know, some of us might only be able to afford giving, say, £10 a month away. Any more and you'd really struggle to put food on your plate. Well, if we've had that conversation with God, if we've shown him our bank statement, that's hugely freeing. We don't need to feel guilty about just £10 a month. We can rejoice and celebrate that that's what the Lord has given us and that's what we're doing with it for him. We don't need to feel guilty at all. And we can give to a variety of things, right? We can give to the church. We can give to other Christian organizations. We can give to humanitarian aid. But I guess we can give to, you know, to our neighbors and those around us, welcome them for a meal. We can give to those who are around us maybe struggling a bit at the moment. We can leave a legacy, perhaps, in our will. Use your money, give everything to God. Now, that won't always be easy, right? We're sinful people who are selfish, who want to keep our stuff for ourselves. That's definitely my experience. I'd find this task hard. And so when it's hard, we can look back to the widow. See how sacrificial, how generous she was to give everything to God. But also, when we find it hard, we can look to God as the ultimate example of someone who was generous. As we were hearing about from the verse at the beginning, how he lavished his love upon us. Chiefly by giving his most precious thing, his son, into our world. Jesus giving of himself, God giving his son. They're the ultimate examples. This widow is a great example, but God is the ultimate example. So what does God want us to do with our money? Well, I think first principle, he wants to give us to give everything to him. Second principle, give to the gospel. I said already, there's all sorts of things you can give to, right? Hey, the church, Christian organizations, lots of other kind of humanitarian aid. So where should we give it to? Where should we prioritize, perhaps? Well, again, the widow is a good example for us. Where does she give her money? Where does she put it? In the temple treasury. She gave it to God and to the temple. Which the temple was the place back in the Old Testament was where God was doing business with the world, where he was working out his good news and his salvation and his love into the world. He did it through the temple and through his people. You know, the temple was the place, yes, that you could meet God, but it was also the place where you would come and hear the scriptures taught, where they'd open up the scrolls of the Old Testament, where the scribes and the teachers of the law would teach it. It's where the message of forgiveness would be held out. It's where the spiritual leadership of God's people would come from. Now, you and I don't have the temple today. So where is God at work? Where is he working out his good news of salvation? He's doing it through the church. Through the church and the people in that church. As he works the good news of the gospel into the world. You see, there are many needs in our world. You know, poverty, hunger, climate change, natural disasters, we could go on. But the greatest need in our world is for the message of Jesus Christ to be known. The greatest need that people have is forgiveness from our sins. The greatest need we have is to be welcomed into God's family. And the place that that message, that need can be met is here in the church. And so unashamedly, here at All Saints, I think it's right that we say we'd love you to give some of our money here to church. The place that can meet the world's biggest need. We'd love you to think about prioritising giving some of your money here. You know, All Saints Crowborough exists so that you'll have seen it earlier in our little logo, so that people can discover Jesus and discover life. Eternal life. That's what the world needs the most. Now, it's worth making a little caveat while we're talking about all this money and all this giving and all this doing, that in a series like the one that we've been going through, this Fruitful Followers series, that it sounds like we're trying to tell you from the front, or trying to tell you from the Bible, that there's lots you've got to do in the Christian life. Do, 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 do. And there's a danger that, as you know, we think through welcoming and serving and loving our neighbour and giving our money, then it makes it sound like the Christian life is like, wow, God's only going to be pleased with you or happy with you and only going to save you and welcome you into your family if you do a lot. It's 100% vital that we understand that the message of the Christian faith isn't do, 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 but that it is done in Jesus Christ. If you decide off the back of today to give money to church or to give in different ways, please don't do it thinking that is what's going to please God, that that's going to be the thing that gets you eternal life. That is not how the Christian faith works. Joyfully, wonderfully, because none of us could give enough. Joyfully, we're given forgiveness and a place in God's family as we have faith in Jesus Christ. But as we live out our Christian faith, as we live as fruitful followers, one of the things that we're going to want to do is respond by living rightly and by following the example of this lady, of giving everything to God, giving for the gospel. Allow me to encourage you, giving can feel a bit hard, can't it? But actually, can I encourage you? This is the best investment that you could ever make. You know, we buy things, right, or invest in things, and they sometimes don't work out. Sometimes they don't live up to their expectations. Allow me to encourage you, giving for the gospel is never going to let you down. You know, in 10,000 years, when you're walking around in heaven and you meet someone, and you start talking to them, and they say, oh, do you know what, I was at All Saints Crowborough once. Actually, it's where I came to know Jesus. That's where I came to find out about him. You're never going to think in that moment, oh, do you know, I wish I had a nicer car. Or I wish I had a better house. You're going to rejoice that that person heard the gospel, in part, perhaps because you gave some of your money towards the gospel ministry, towards the holding out of this message of eternal life to the town of Crowborough and beyond. John Lang was a man, I think, who lived this out, who gave everything and gave it for the gospel. He owned a construction business that was worth millions by the time he died. But fairly early on, before the company got big, John made a pretty important decision. He said, look, I'm going to take a salary, and then everything else above that the company makes, I'm going to give it away. And he gave most of it to gospel ministry. And as the company got bigger, I imagine the temptation for him to kind of up that salary, just a little bit, just to kind of match the people around me. No, he kept it the same. And he just gave more and more and more. By the end of his life, he had less than £400 to his name. John understood where to invest. John understood where to give. He understood that everything he had belonged to God, and he gave to the gospel. Now, to end, I've got a couple of practical tips, I think, which they run the risk of telling grandma how to suck eggs, but I think because with the way that we don't talk about money, some of this might be helpful for some of us. They're not rules, they're certainly not directly from the Bible, so you can totally, don't take or leave everything else I've said from God's word, but maybe you can take and leave this. Number one, talk to God, pray. Although actually maybe don't take that as a take or leave, maybe that one is a, you should do that. Give thanks for what you've been given. Ask for the right heart towards money. Ask for wisdom to know what you should do with it. Secondly, talk to people. It's not British, but do it anyway. Talk to your spouse, talk to close friends about money, about what God says about it, about what you should do with it. And show grace as you do that to other people as they talk to you. Maybe with a spouse or something, you should do the bank statement exercise. I haven't told Sarah this, but I think we're going to do this week. What do you think? Often for big things like finance, we book a time in our week. We say, look, Tuesday night, we're going to just sit down for an hour and a half and think about this. Maybe that might be a good thing to do. Thirdly, budget. I'm not naturally someone who would do things like this. I'm much more of the sort of, I'm sure it'll be fine kind of persuasion. But a number of years ago, we budgeted and thought a bit more about our money, and I'm convicted that this is quite a good idea. I realised when we did it that I thought I wasn't spending very much on certain things. And then as I went back through my bank statement, added it all up, it was actually quite a lot more than I thought. Maybe that'd be a helpful thing to do. And finally, set how much you're going to give. Be deliberate about it. And then review it regularly, maybe annually or as your circumstances change. You set how much, and people sometimes sort of say, well, how much should I give? What is a good amount? I mean, how long's a piece of string? But why not start with the principle of the Old Testament tithe, the kind of the 10%? Certainly don't take it as a rule, certainly not that. For some of us, that would be wildly too much, and that would put you in debt. Don't do that. And for others, it wouldn't be anywhere near enough. But as a total guide, as a starting point, why not start there? If you want to think more about these kind of things, there's a very helpful book by a man called Ash Carter, who thinks very biblically about money, and then also thinks very practically. Almost all of these practical top tips I've just told you are in here. Not my ideas. I've said plenty. Let's pray together to our God in heaven. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that everything in the world is yours and you've entrusted us with some of it. Help us to be wise and godly with what you've entrusted to us. Help us to give it in our hearts back to you and to use it how you would have us. And help us to see as we give to the gospel what an investment that is. We pray that you'd give us wisdom for the practicalities of how and how much. We pray in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.